So you were telling me about a dream you had with Stanley Tucci?
Oh my God, yes. It is the best dream because I'm not endorsing a remake of Bringing Up Baby ever because that movie is perfect and Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant are just the best. But imagine a movie starring Jeff Goldblum as a wacky heiress who steals cars, steals leopards, and
Guys.
kidnaps.
What do you want,
What,
Kyle?
Kyle?
Can you let me out of the bathroom? I want to join.
Kyle, it puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again. We told you.
Ignore him. Just finish this story.
Anyway, yes. Yeah, so Stanley Tucci is an earnest archaeologist who gets kidnapped by Jeff Goldblum and they go on a wacky adventure to Connecticut with a leopard. It's great.
Wonderful. I'd watch that.
I would too.
Iggy Pop! Amen! Let it rot! I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Cody.
Why don't you have some fun?
Fun, fun.
Tommy.
It's a painting.
Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish!
I'm always home, I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up!
Hey Haw fans, welcome to this edition of the P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Zimmer Hoffman. I'm Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm Jenny O'Connell.
Wait a minute. Come on. I thought,
oh.
You know.
Oh.
You got out of the bathroom.
Yeah. It's our thing.
Is
what,
it?
Third time and she's taken over.
Well, we were trying to spin this off into a Stanley Tucci
Wonder
podcast.
Woman hair.
Stanley Tucci podcast.
Exactly.
I love Stanley Tucci.
Oh, great. So maybe you can be a guest on our Stanley Tucci podcast.
All right. I'll come on to that. But this is the P.S. I Love Hoffman, Hoff fans out there.
But our guests on our...
Not the terrible Tucci's.
Actually, it would be called Table for Tucci. And that should also be the name of his next cookbook.
Which it is. As you can see, I have Stanley Tucci's cookbooks out here.
Two of them, yes. And
his two cookbooks.
They're so good,
see,
the dog's
and the
panting.
The guest on the Tucci Table podcast, I'll have to bring a fancy bottle of wine, so I hope you did.
This isn't that show. This
oh,
is
man.
P.S. I Love Hoffman.
No.
Yes.
Yes, we're aware. Trying to hijack it with Tucci.
No. I'm sorry, Phil. You can please be honest right now. Philip Zimmer Hoffman is greater than Stanley Tucci.
In what measure?
As an actor.
I'm joking.
As an actor.
You don't need to get heated here.
Yeah, no.
I
would say that you can love both of them.
Yeah, but
they
yes,
both...
Philip Zimmer Hoffman's a better actor.
I'm sure Stanley Tucci would agree that Philip Zimmer Hoffman is better at his craft.
Yeah.
Human being, I'm not so sure.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
All
or
right,
who can
all
be a better cool dad? You know, like Stanley Tucci's your cool dad that makes you pasta. You go to advice, you know? he just lays down that soothing wisdom.
But no, you're right, Kyle. This is P.S. I Love Hoffman. I'm Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm Kyle Reinfried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, and we're always ready to talk great movies. And today, we'll be chatting about a film with Philip Seymour Hoffman, of course.
Yes.
Stanley Tucci. Some other people.
Keir Sedgwick, yeah.
Keir Sedgwick, the closer.
Yep, an Empire Records reunion with Robert Tunney and Ethan Embry.
Ooh,
so 90s.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
You can catch that. Of course, this film is called Montana. I shouldn't say of course, because this was another hard-to-find one. It was on Amazon and stuff, so it wasn't too hard to
but
find.
But there's, like, nothing on this movie out there.
It's almost like it didn't exist.
I found one review on Rotten Tomatoes, and the guy said, I think I've seen this film before. It's called Pulp Fiction.
Which is kind of fair.
That
maybe
is
a little
kind
unfair.
Of fair. Maybe
kind
it just
of fair.
Isn't in circulation, because I wanted it to be the precursor to Brokeback Mountain. Like, I wanted it to be Stanley's Brokeback Mountain, and it wasn't, so it should be buried.
Well,
you
we
know?
Got some, going from You Were on the Getaway, and that had some sexy electric guitar. This definitely opens up with some sexy electric guitar, but Brokeback Mountain, you could have gone to that acoustic. Bow, bow, bow.
Right?
Bow.
Speaking of...
Bow, bow, bow.
Oh, I thought you were going to pull into like a Gary Glitter there.
No.
Speaking of, though, like you mentioned The Getaway, we've seen some very good Philip Zimmer Hoffman films lately. Did this feel like a step back to you?
This is a step...
As a film.
Well, both in like... Definitely in a film, and then kind of in a performance, But I have to say, we got a lot of PSH.
Yeah, that was the plus.
And this
we
was
did see
probably his biggest speaking role thus far. Mm. Not the most compelling, you know, character or, you know, good dialogue, but he falls into, this is like the third time he's playing, or second time, I guess, he's playing that waspy character that we're going to get again in, like, as Brent and Big Lebowski and in Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, yeah, the nice dressing glasses character rather than opposed.
Well, he's not nice. He's not nice.
Nice dressing.
Oh, nice dressing. Okay.
What's the John Cusack movie now? I'm just forgetting them. Because we're
Money for Nothing.
Money for Nothing, where he's like a dock worker. You know, yeah. It's completely different.
Or just a high school goon in my boyfriend's back or something.
Yeah, it's funny because... I don't know. We went to Twister, and while that's not a great, great film, it's still like
really
a memorable,
fun film.
Yeah, a fun, memorable film.
This at best is silly.
We saw the P.T. Anderson films.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like you expect someone's career naturally to continue up that ladder.
No, I think we still have a few ahead that I'm going to be like,
Yeah. So it's back to reality. You know, that's what this film felt like. Back to reality.
Yeah.
At least as far as the podcast.
Back
is concerned.
To a working actor's career. I mean, he was working this whole time, but like you said, it's not like he had this, you know, blockbuster film, a Twister that he's in as like a tentpole film, and then one of his greater roles in Boogie Nights, and then everything was, you know, sunshine and lollipops after. It's like, okay, I'm gonna join this film.
Still had to work. Still had to put.
Yeah, gotta pay them bills. You know.
Did you get the director's name? Because the only film she did, or maybe she did a short or something, right?
The director's name is Jennifer Leitzes, I'll go with. L-E-I-T-Z-E-S.
Now, this is her debut. I don't get...
Like, this is her debut, and then she only directed a short film in 2008.
Maybe that's fair. Maybe that's
fair. Oh, damn.
I mean, I don't... Here's the funny thing. Like, he's been in a couple movies now where they're, like, directorial debuts, and... We don't see these directors again. Imagine getting a shot to direct this cast on your first... Like, who does she know?
I mean, I'm impressed that she got such an amazing cast for her debut, but I'm so sad that, like, even though it wasn't a great film, that there are just so many mediocre guys who are directors who, like, they make a like, kind of shitty debut, and then they're like, go make another thing. And, like, I'd want to see what else she could do, like, with, like, a little bit more time and, like, you know, because she got someone, like... to sign on, like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Clearly,
that's
she got a good cast, but I mean, fair to say, you know, I mean, well, I'll put it out there and ask. Kyle first, did you enjoy this film? I assume it's your first time you've seen it, right?
The first time I've seen it, and I like the actors in it. Like, I like the cast, and so they made some really, like, with bland characters with bland dialogue tolerable.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's all. And then again, like I said, it's silly at best. Yeah. Mm. It's not funny. It's not like action-y, entertaining.
Have you ever been to a party just because like some of your friends are going, even though normally you wouldn't have gone to like that kind of scene with
yes,
the music?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it kind of sounds like here.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree that the cast really carried this because, you know, like we were saying, it's not a terrible film in the way that like Tammy and the T-Rex is terrible. Where
no,
you
no,
can
no.
just like revel in that, you know, and be like, somebody made this. Or like, you know, something that you might see on a Mystery Science Theater 3000 where you're like, okay, this is, you know, again, same kind of amusing. It's just sort of boring movie with really cool people in it. So you are hooked on them, but you're like, if you just took anyone else out, like imagine, you know, if there was like Dane Cook is the lead, like, you know, or like, I don't know, I guess I'm just trying to think of like, you know, like human charisma vacuums, like if you, or like Jason Biggs is also in this film, like I would not be like, oh, hey, let's go see this Jason Biggs film,
yeah,
you know.
Some of these films teeter on, if they didn't have the cast, they might be just like a college film, and I don't mean that in a good way, you know,
yeah.
Just like, oh, my friends are in it. you know, I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, again, so the cast, we've got Keira Sidgwick, Stanley Tucci, Robert...
And Stanley Tucci, again, will team with Philip Seymour Hoffman in Hunger Games.
Hunger
later.
Games, yeah. Robin Tune, Robbie Coltrane, who we, you know, this is a reteam with him and Philip Seymour Hoffman from our first film, Triple Bogey and a Par 5 Hole.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah. And
always nice to see Hagrid, not in the Hagrid makeup.
John, the delightful human being, Ritter. And,
who is not very Jack Tripper in this film, I have to be honest with you.
No, he's really good at being super creepy.
Yeah. I really...
He's even kind of creepy as Jack Tripper. That's another story, but this is like... mega creepy. Yeah.
And like you said, Ethan Embry, and then obviously Philip Seymour Hoffman. So, I mean, that's a solid cast. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I mean, okay, so Stanley Tucci, I guess I'd have to say out of the main, so out of the people I just read, the person I have the biggest problem with is Kira Sidgwick.
Mm.
She just didn't, I'm not a big fan of hers in general, but she
not
just...
Not a fan of TNT dramas.
No. Maybe now. Maybe now that all basic cable stations are stepping up their game. Maybe Closer... 2000, like, you know, teens edition would be better.
But, I thought you were a fan of her in that Travolta movie.
Oh, well, no, I love the phenomenon, but I'm not a fan of her in that movie.
Wow. There's
something really, she's got, she's like a blonde, not pleasant Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts can
be blonde. That's pretty accurate. I was going to say, like, a wooden, not even close to, like, compelling Gillian Anderson, because, like, Gillian Anderson can play, like, or, like, Mariska, where you have, like, the lady cop, you know, stereotypes of being, like, I'm a badass who drinks whiskey, and I'm one of the dudes, but look at me wearing, like, you know, my hair in this, like, ridiculous ponytail. Like, what is that hair, woman? It's not a ponytail. It needs to commit to something. But, you know, it's like she just... Yeah, she doesn't bring any depth like the way that like Mariska or like Jillian brings that, where you're like, oh, this is a person who enjoys whiskey instead of a walking caricature.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I'm glad we're all on the same page. Well, like, I'm not someone who's like, oh, I don't like Kira Sedgwick. Like, I guess I didn't have an opinion on her. But sometimes it does feel like she tries too hard. Like, I'm one of the guys. Mm. I have a shovel.
You know, it's like... I mean, she was like a strong, like... like, female character, but she just didn't...
I think,
like,
the character was written that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she just didn't bring it home for me.
Yeah, there's just no, like, interesting choice that she makes, where, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman always, like, takes a character that's, like, could be, like... I mean, here, he's just, like, Donald Trump's son.
He kind of has, like, an Eric Trump vibe. You
he
know?
Really,
you know?
Yeah, that's
like,
what
like,
I
blonde,
know.
Slick back hair.
I know, yeah, but he, like, you know, he adds something new
huge.
To it, like, where you're like, oh, this is fresh, I haven't seen this before, where she just kind of doesn't add anything to it. It's not like, you know,
which
there's anything
shame.
We haven't
you
seen before.
This. You have a woman director, which is, you know, unfortunately too rare. You have a strong female lead. This film actually passes the Bechdel test.
It does.
Because there's one more character
right.
to talk to, whatever, still.
It's not a... It doesn't pass very far.
The word
you know.
Whore is used a lot.
Yeah,
the
there's
I mean,
a
the
lot of slut-shaming.
It's
right, just kind of, like, forced into it, though.
Yeah.
Sure, but...
Yeah, some of my notes were pretty angry at Kira, of just kind of, like, yelling at her, of being like, damn it, Kira, like, what are you doing?
So, before we get ahead of ourselves... Kyle, what is this film about? Because we're sure audience members, Hoff fans, you've probably not seen this one.
Yeah, so Claire is an accomplished assassin who gives her all to Boss, played by Coltrane, Claire's Kira Sedgwick. But when the Boss gives Claire the low-level task of retrieving his runaway girlfriend, Kitty, Claire knows she's losing her juice.
Losing her juice?
Yeah, that's what this article says.
Doing a little, Kyle, I gotta be honest, you're doing a little a bit of plagiarizing.
I forgot to write
Someone wrote that, losing her juice?
Yeah. So this is more entertaining. To make matters worse, the girlfriend, Robin Tunney, commits a murder while in Claire's custody. She doesn't just commit a murder, she kills Coltrane's
That's why
boss's
we ask
son.
You to write your own.
Jimmy, but this is fun. As lazy as the writing is in this film, I was in writing a
Does it
synopsis.
Say who wrote that
Yeah,
that,
fair enough.
That summary?
Written by an A non Y mouse.
Oh, I was like, I think I've heard of that guy.
And yeah, so she's forced to flee from her own syndicate. Claire soon finds that Kitty is a femme fatale to be reckoned with.
Oh,
yep.
Boy.
That's
okay.
What this movie is.
I don't know. This is like a crime
Yeah.
drama-ish comedy.
Yeah, And I mean, I kind of wish that it went more with the whole, like, let's have, like, Kitty and, you know, like, of course her name's Claire. So, like, you know, you think of a lady cop, you're like, ooh, she's a Claire, you know? So, like, real original there. And the same with, like, the whole Kitty thing. I'm like, I see
what
she
Kitty's
did.
A pretty stereotypical.
That's a pretty stereotypical. But, like, you know, I don't know if it makes it more stereotypical to be like, they become involved together and take down the patriarchy and shoot everyone's face and drive into the sunset, you know.
Well, it's funny because I feel like there's one scene, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but the scene has no, like, importance of the film, where they're, like, hanging out at a hotel and they're, like, in separate, faraway beds.
Mm.
It's actually John Ritter's compound.
It's his compound. Sorry, I forgot where they
were. Like,
but I feel like that scene was explicitly put there, like, they're not lesbians. It's not weird.
Right,
I thought there was going to be, like, a Thelma and Louise kind of moment.
I thought there might be, too.
I was, like, hoping for that, you know, and it just never happened. So, way to disappoint me, movie. Kind of like how I'm really disappointed that, like, Stanley almost had the evil doppelganger Star Trek goatee, like, almost. It was like a 9 o'clock shadow, and I wanted them to go, like, full evil goatee, you know, just to establish, like, he's an anti-hero, you know? Actually, is he the original Walter White? Because he has cancer, he has almost the goatee, like... You know, this is the biggest reach ever, so just
Would you
just
watch Breaking
kidding.
Bad with Stanley Tucci?
It wouldn't have...
Very different.
Yeah, it would
very
be different. So different.
Very different. Yeah. I just don't think Stanley Tucci would ever live in New Mexico.
That's true. Or, I don't know if he did. Well, I feel like he'd make turquoise.
But in this film, he really wants to go to Montana, even though when Kitty asks him, where's your favorite place you traveled to? And he's like, Thailand. But he's like, but Montana would be nice.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert here, this film does not take place in Montana.
No.
Except for the end.
It comes to a point in the film, I'm like, wait a minute. We're not in Montana. I've never been to Montana.
Because there's these shots of cities, right?
Very
but it's not this clear city.
But, yeah, it's like generic city. I was trying to figure out, like where is
buildings.
This?
Yeah. And that was the whole thing. I was like, I was becoming a little forgiving of Kira Sedgwick. So I'm like, blonde Midwestern woman, so this is like a believable crime like lady. No, you know who I think would have been good for this movie, like in Sarah Kira Sedgwick, Debbie Mazur, who was in like Money for Nothing. Like I don't know, there's just something if we're going whatever city this is supposed to be, because I don't think this is supposed like. I thought this was like Helena, Montana. I have no idea. Never been to it.
Billings.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like the Rick and Morty. Oh, sorry.
No, continue.
No,
oh, yeah, the Rick and Morty, like, episode where aliens turn down the their simulation to 10% and, like, Jerry's stuck in there and it's just, like, Earth music. Like, the do-do-do. Like, that's what this movie felt like. Like, someone took a city, put it down to, like, 10%. Like, the barest minimum of being like, this is city.
Yeah, they just repeat the same, like, six tall buildings.
Because, I mean, personally, I would have recast Kira at... with Patricia Clarkson and had it been like Stanley Tucci, Patricia Clarkson wine adventures, like it would actually
yeah, yeah.
be
Replace
set
all the
in
guns
New
with
York.
Wine.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? Pull like an ET, take the guns out instead of walkie talkie, glass of wine.
But I guess this is why I don't write for action movies. So
the action in this movie is god awful.
It is.
It's
yeah,
really bad.
That's one thing where it does struggle. So this is an action film. It kind of opens, right? Like, remember they, like, capture the wrong Asian man? I was
yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I didn't laugh at that because
like,
it's kind of like a racist.
Racism.
Yeah, yeah. Which I laughed at.
Okay. But, okay, at first I'm like, this is racist. Then I thought about it. A plus for casting an Asian guy.
Two.
You're right, two.
The mistaken and then coup.
They've doubled.
Two coups.
And
two
wouldn't coups. It be more weird if they captured an Asian guy and then they're like, oh, this is the wrong guy. And it wasn't an Asian guy, you know? They had to look somewhat similar. So I'd like to think that instead of, like, this racist choice...
To quote Chris Tucker, all y'all look alike.
See? That's where there'd be a racist joke there. But maybe it's not. Maybe they just thought this guy was a really good actor and they just found a guy who looked like him. Maybe it was
maybe.
His cousin. I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's give them credit here.
It's more racist that his last name is Koo. Or whatever, like, the Koos.
It's not just his last name, Kyle. That's his only name.
Yeah. He's like, Cher. Koo.
Right, you know, a lot of this film takes place at this criminal compound.
This was one of the few aspects I liked. There was almost, I don't know if either of you have seen John Wick, but it's just like that movie does like a fantastic job of like original crime world building. This almost like had that element because they're just like sitting around playing cards. They're playing like a kind of weird version. I mean, a much more less lethal version of Russian roulette where they shoot their hands.
Yeah.
And playing
yeah.
cards. And there's like, you know, we've got Philip Seymour Hoffman who's. What exactly? He does the books.
So we meet him almost right away.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. I wrote four minutes in, PSH. And I was like, oh, it's Brent from Big Lebowski. Because he really is
Yeah,
there.
So he's like an accountant, but like a mob accountant who's also like, he's like the consigliere, you know? He's like the right-hand man.
He's basically like Donald Trump's son.
Yeah. Again, the Eric Trump look-alike, but just obviously a little huskier. Mm. Yeah, and we already see he's a character of power right away. Mm-hmm. I was afraid he might just be, like, one of the henchmen again. Because there's a room, and you just see all these henchmen.
Yeah, but he's got his own desk.
He's got his own desk.
Yeah. He's, like, the numbers guy.
You could tell, that, like, he has some power.
Yeah.
He does. He's very cool but smarmy. Like, I like that just with his performances, like, you really can kind of tell that they're intentional. Like, it's an intentional choice. So he's selling this shit, like, to me. I mean, it's not his greatest performance, but it's like he's taking, like, the flat, schmarmy, like, work the books, and I'm going to double-cross you, because obviously, like, obviously he's up
to
no
good.
Yeah,
he's one of the worst written characters in this film.
Definitely, well, that's what I was... Yeah, he does a lot for being given... really, like, nothing. Like, this character was written so flat, and the dialogue is bland, and he has these great moments of, like, or potential moments that he could have, as far as screen time goes, of, like, exposition and talking to Claire, Kira Sedgwick's character. Like, right away, like, I like it, you know, they see one another, and she slaps him, and we just have this very clearly defined, you know, okay, good guy, bad guy, or good woman, bad guy.
It's not about money. It's about perception of strength.
Claire, did you think of that all by yourself?
The bag man was your responsibility. The loss of that money is your fault. You're fucking useless.
Now that we've thanked our foot soldier for the invaluable work contributed here today, please dismiss yourself.
Fuck you.
You know, the boss and I have some important financial matters to discuss. Numbers? You know, things you wouldn't understand.
Hey, friends, come on, we'll get it out of cool.
Shh, don't shush me.
His character, there's just, I'm like listening, I'm like, okay, Philip, you know, bring me in. And it was just, like, everything just went in one ear and, like, out the other, as far as, you know, because it's just it wasn't well written.
No, I mean, but I thought, like, for instance, Stanley Tucci's character I thought was a little bit more interesting than his.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And maybe that's because I like Stanley Tucci, but...
Well, because he's an anti-hero.
We have it in the... Yeah, and we have it in this first... Not the first scene, but this, like, compound scene where Stanley Tucci and Kitty, who's, the mistress or whatever
she
is.
Yeah, I wrote down... I still think this is very accurate of, like, just writing, Robert Tunney is Sean Young as Kristen Stewart. Because, like, at least for part of it. I mean, I will give her some future credit that she kind of... She kind of noms into that material a lot. Like, she is playing this ridiculous character and, like, is so over the top.
Are you a fan of her work?
I actually am, yeah. I mean...
I know you like The Craft.
Yeah, I love The Craft. I love Empire Records. Like, I forget if she's on The Mentalist. I think she is.
She's on The Mentalist?
Yeah, I just like her.
That's like The Closer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So her character was, like... What
traded to Hagrid as a child.
Yeah. Which is just
Robbie
so weird.
The boss. He doesn't get a name. He's the boss.
It's more interesting if it's Hagrid.
Hagrid, yes.
That's
like
true.
Hagrid's origin story.
Oh my god. It explains so much.
Claire has this line. This is one of the biggest moments I laughed. Like, Kitty's talking to Claire, and she's telling her how she was, like, sold in. She really didn't have a choice. And Claire just goes... Oh, bad childhood. I don't give a fuck. I'm just like, wait, what? What? What is going on? That's why I call it silly. This movie just had so many moments of, like, whether it was, like, little silly dialogue or just their looks or the gunfights that I'm like, wait, what? what's going on right now.
And I think
Claire with a hatchet at one point.
I think this is where, like, Tarantino ruins things. And it's not his fault, but you mentioned, like, the Pulp Fiction-esque things. Yeah. And I think a lot of people think they can pull that Pulp Fiction shit off.
Yeah,
you know?
Not a Tarantino-directed movie, but Tarantino-written. The ending of this movie is so wants to be true romance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hotel room, like, gunfight, escaping, and everything like that. It, like, is craving to be
romance. Yeah, that's true. I'd like to re-examine this period and kind of see, like, if any other films tried to do this in terms of copy Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Because it seems like, again, it's not like super Tarantino-esque. Obviously, the shot work isn't or anything like that.
Well, no, and it's not even, I think, no one's really also attempting that out of sequence, like, storytelling. So
no,
that's...
but in terms of, like, oh, we can show violence like this.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, Tarantino can show, like, over-the-top violence that doesn't necessarily play.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It plays, but, you know, it because it's stylized. This movie's not stylized at all, and then just has these, like, stylized moments of random bleeding or, like, a lot of blood.
Not even stylized, but, like, they think they... I don't know. It thinks it is?
It's almost like if it was written stylized, but not
but
shot
not
stylized.
Yeah. Sure, exactly. Perfect way. Yeah.
So, just... We're not going to go scene by scene with this one, because it's really irrelevant. This is mostly an action movie. But just want to, you know, touch on certain things. Stanley Tucci, he's like this learned man.
Yeah, so right... I mean, how early on do we learn this character is sick?
Eventually it's kind of mentioned in the car at the beginning, slightly, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of predicted it when he was, like, you know, talking about his, like, medication as, like, a way to be like, oh, no homo, bro, like, but, you know. Being like, I'm like, okay, like, he probably has, like, cancer or some shit, because I'm an asshole.
It's so. Kind of in that first scene where you really hear something, too. Not the first scene, the group... gang scene where they're playing cards is because Kitty goes up to him and they're quoting, I forgot who they're quoting, some, like, you know, famous philosopher or something.
Okay.
And he's kind of, like, hitting on her a little bit, and he implies, he's like, things don't really work, you know?
Yeah, the way you plan.
You planned. And it's, I think he's implying sexually, you know?
Mm.
And I was like, first I'm like, is he gay? This would be great. You know, like, he's sassy and gay, but no.
Yeah.
It was pretty obvious then.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
I thought maybe, like, you know, war or something.
We get a good, not in like a Philip Seymour Hoffman movie, but a gay like crime person in I guess Hitman in the Mexican James Gandolfini. You ever see that?
Yeah.
That's like,
oh,
that
no.
would have been, yeah, that's
I need to.
That's, yeah, no, it's awesome. And that's Julia Roberts, so the, you know, redhead Kira Sedgwick. But I love, yeah, just to go back to, like, they're having that card game or whatever, I love the random people there. I didn't bother looking up their names, but the one guy with, like, the older guy with the glasses, he's Ace Ventura's, buddy that, like, does the whole clam chowder bit, and, like, is following.
New England clam chowder. Is it the red or the white? Like, sending New England, what does he say? Sending Norwegian whaling ships. Like, you know, he's, like, the one who's... animal rights activist.
And then he was brought into the animated series, too.
Yeah, he was one of, like, the main characters in the animated series.
Love that. And then you've got this guy, I mean, I guess biggest role seems like probably he was in Sons of Anarchy for a while, but I remember him from Batman Begins as, like, the bad cop that, like, you know, Batman flings upside down when he takes the falafels. Swear to me!
He's also in a Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, yeah, he's in Too Fast, Too Furious.
He's
put the rat on.
Yeah, because he's the rat.
Yeah.
Like, I just remembered, he's a bad cop there. Bad cop.
And then you've got the guy from Office Space, which we only see him in the card game, but he's the Middle Eastern guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't really have a role.
He's the
one
that has to shoot himself, like, twice in the hand. He's like, and he's like, says, so, like, yeah, they're playing, like, a version of Russian roulette that they're shooting in the hand. And that line also made me laugh. He's just like, you could have figured out to shoot your hand in the same spot again. Like, he's just ruining, just keeps shooting the same hole in his hand.
It's that's a good strategy.
Would hurt,
it would hurt, like, though.
Of course.
Like, he doesn't, like, figure it
I
out.
I guess until,
amazing.
Like, it's big enough, I guess, till the diameter is, like, Or the circumference is bigger than the bullet. I don't know.
We all want that to happen to us.
Yep.
But yeah, getting back to the film.
The son, too.
Oh, yeah. Scene.
So the son comes in, right? He's a complete jackass.
Yeah, like, I wrote down like, that...
He's got the gun.
Yeah.
Ethan Embry is so good at being the AT&T of people, because that's what he is in this film.
His father, so is Robbie Coltrane, and he has no name. He's the boss. Ethan Embry, first role I think I ever saw him in, was That Thing You Do. No name in that movie. He's... credited as the bassist. So you got the boss and the bassist.
I kept referring to him as Nick Papagiorgio. That's his character in the film Vegas Vacation.
Yeah. He wins all those cars.
Maybe this is what Nick Papagiorgio does while he's away from his family in Vegas.
Ooh. Maybe.
Though this was not Vegas. If it's any city, the city was not Vegas, you know.
No, definitely not.
It's like four square building city. So it turns out, right, that Kitty and Duncan are in on this scam to try to kill Robbie Coltrane's character.
Is Kitty in on it, or is she being used by Duncan?
Regardless if she's being used, she's in on it. She purposely says she passed the gun along.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I just didn't care enough to, like, actually, like, follow along with their scheme.
I'm sure Duncan,
I'm like, eh.
Like, promised her, like, oh, you know, you'll be free.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like sex slavery of Hagrid.
I thought he, yeah.
So yeah, I guess he was a little bit noble in that respect.
Yeah, like,
sure.
So it gets botched.
Yeah, it gets botched. So, well, Nick ends up shooting Ku, the Asian guy. And this is the whole thing. Like, I forget. Like, Nick is counting at one point.
Nick is Stanley Tucci.
Yes, Nick is Stanley Tucci. And at one point in the film, he's counting all this money. It's like close to like $1.5 million. I don't know if they ever say the exact amount. But it's that Ku stole this money, and then Philip Seymour Hoffman knew where it was in this train station. I love that they keep going back to this train station. Like, different characters, that's the only place you can hide money in this movie. This train station.
Wait, you don't do that?
I know where to find your money.
Damn it.
So Philip Seymour Hoffman knows where the money is, and he's gonna, like, or no, he doesn't know where the money is, because Ku hid it, right?
Yeah, Ku hid the money.
Yeah. This is like, that is like, again, it's like kind of like a jumble of, so pretty much the boss sends out his two best people, that of Nick and Claire, but send Jimmy, his son, with them.
Yeah, like, and originally he doesn't send them to get the money. He sends them because Kitty runs away this whole debacle. No one suspects Kitty of anything, but she runs away, so Keira Sedgwick is more like, oh man, I gotta pick up the boss's girlfriend.
Yeah, it's a very low-level job for her at this point.
But Stanley Tucci and his Winston is like, well, we'll find the cash too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he, you know, he knows what's up. He knows where it's at. Even though he is a monster for not using a coaster at Ku's house when he goes to be like, try to like get the money from his wife. I'm like, you monster.
It wasn't very Tucci to not use a coaster.
It was not very
That's
Tucci.
How I know he was acting.
Yeah.
Then we get to see, again, John, the delightful Ritter.
Oh, my God.
Who's shooting. They go to his, like, compound house, mansion, whatever you want to call it, and he's shooting, like, a commercial for his self-help book, his one-step, like, help book.
Yeah, he has a self-help book, and it's pretty cheesy. Like,
yeah, but I kind of love this. This might be, like, my favorite character. Again, not that, like, he's the best. Like, Tucci and Coltrane are the best in this movie. Like, as far as their acting. And I mean, John Ritter's good, but like, I thought his character was the most interesting.
Because he's this book author, this like self-help guru who's also in
charge. Kind of culty, you know, a little like, you're like, ooh, you probably have some weird sex cult, you know, like.
His dinner guests are really weird.
Yeah.
Oh
that.
My god, yeah.
But that, you know, there's this whole underworld element that he's in charge of.
Yeah, well, he's, at this point, we think that he's just, like, the launderer, but obviously gets, like, a good cut from it. But we end up learning that he's trying to do this coup, a coup with Ku, and take over the boss's world. I hate that Robbie Coltrane doesn't...
He's the boss.
Yeah, he's the boss.
Or he's Hagrid, you know.
That's
Hagrid.
What I see him as.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just going to call him Hagrid from now on, you know.
And And then, I mean, after that, Tucci decides to go off on his own, and it's just Claire and Jimmy, and Tucci goes, and this is the one thing, like, he goes, and he's cold and kind at the same time. Like, he does a really great job, and he's talking to Mrs. Koo, and, like, obviously, he's the one that killed her husband, and it's just like, oh, no, like, everything, you know, like, he's fine, but he got in a little over his head or whatever, and she gives him the information of what locker, like, the money's in.
Yeah, where to get the money. So yeah. He finds these million dollars, and he basically spends the next third of the movie counting this money.
Amazing. And I would watch a movie of him just counting
money. I would have watched this movie with just him.
Yeah.
Like,
no, he carries this film.
So, I mean, we can skip around here. He has this money on, like, at this table, right? Where is it? Where is he counting the money?
Just, he's in a hotel room, and he's just, like, it's a coffee table. That he's
It's like generic hotel.
It the Marriott? Is it the Hilton? We'll never know.
And he just starts, like, one, two, and if they're $100 bills, there's obviously millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's so, like, nonchalant.
And we just keep
it.
Cutting back to, like, when it's, like, some thousands, and then hundreds of thousands, and then a million.
And then one of my favorite scenes in the film, and they're not too many, but is when he's about to be attacked.
Yeah, because Hagrid, the boss, thinks that actually Claire and Nick turned on him. That's what Duncan leads him to believe.
Yeah, I mean, we should mention that the son dies.
Yeah, okay, so Kitty kills the son.
Oh, wait, so this is
there's a couple of really rapey moments in this
there
movie.
Are. Oh, yes, so I would say many. So.
And so in that scene, Claire asked Jimmy to go get something, and she's like, I'm not going to go do that, whatever, like, the menial task is. She's like, fine. And at that point, Kitty tried to kill herself, so she's, like, really, like pretty much, like, passed out, like against the floor in a chair. And then Jimmy brings her to a bed and has the gun, like, in his, you know, like, waistband, and is getting ready to, like, mount her, and she takes it out and, like, you know,
rightly,
little chin music, goodnight nurse.
Yeah, well, again, really creepy, rapey son.
Super creepy.
Yeah. Especially since she's, like, you know, almost passed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also because your dad has sex with her all the time.
Well, yeah,
and she, like, just tried to kill herself and was, like, screaming and crying and blood.
Guess
and,
that,
like,
turns him on.
Also, a big thing in this movie, these characters do not, when they are given ample chance, wipe the blood off of their faces.
Oh, yeah. No. That's what I was going to say. It's Pulp Fiction-esque, and not that, you know, but you know what I mean, in terms of, like, let's just show blood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But another thing, this is what I thought you were going to say.
Okay.
They also don't, like, I should say, they never place their gun in a safe place to not be taken by someone else.
Yes,
no,
totally, 110%.
Okay, I'm not going to sit here giving, like, oh, he should have done this to rape her. I don't mean it like that at all, okay?
Yeah,
well, I'm glad he got shot.
Same.
But if you're going to do something bad like that, don't put the gun just, like, in your
I mean,
table.
The gun had to be, like, an obvious metaphor.
Whoa,
just because, phallic. Because that's what this movie, it's like. It's like, oh, okay, we're going to have lots of blood. Everyone's going to wear light colors when it's blood. Or, like, you know, semi... Like, they did, like, weird, you know, like, I get she's, you know, like, a sex worker. Well, not even a sex worker. She's, like, you know, a prostitute against her will. So, like, terrible. But, yeah, just, like, her wardrobe's, like, weirdly, like, sexy and sheer and infantile, and then she gets blood on it, and they're like, ooh, we're Quentin Tarantino. I'm like, you're not. And stop it.
But it's a female director.
I know, which
but
that two, makes
but
it...
brother writers.
Yeah, the writers of this, and their name's escaping me, wrote the Red series
Red
of films.
And, like, yeah, Red, Red 2.
And I think Battleship?
Or... Yeah, a couple other, like, weird movies.
But I feel like 90 people must have written Battleship. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So we have, like, that whole rapey scene. We have, when there's many rapey scenes, and there's also many, and we'll get into them quickly, many, you should have not given the weapon to the criminal scene or the other person scene, you know.
Mind you, between all these scenes, we have a lot of quick, like, not, again, not great, but it's great that we have a lot of dialogue with Philip Seymour Hoffman, so you want to play a few? Might as well.
Yeah, let's play some of his best moments in this film.
Somebody sent you out in public, knowing you'd get picked up. You've been set up. Now, I know you're scared, but listen carefully. Your situation has changed. you've been sold down the river. I had to think. You are going to be tortured more heinously than you can conceive of by the man behind this desk. There's only one way to avoid that. There's only one way out. What are you going to do? Duncan?
It's Claire, you and the boss.
Oh, he's not up for calls right now. What can I do?
You can scurry over and ask him if he wants me to bring Kitty in.
I don't think Kitty should be anywhere near the house right now.
Did I ask you what you thought? Why am I talking to you?
Oh, because you screwed up so badly that his son is dead?
Fuck you! I only talk to the boss.
So yeah, you see his, like, intensity and his...
Yeah, I mean, I was a little annoyed that I feel like sometimes the music tried to, like, you know, just come in on his acting, and I'm like, damn it, son! Like, I am watching this shit right here. I am watching him, you know, being, like, intentional and, like, seeing, you know, like, his thought process, and, like, he had so many great little, like, facial expressions that were on point, where you're like, yep.
Yeah,
like...
He's doing a lot with, like, again, what he was given as far as the idea of this character, but it's not like, I almost wish he went like, can I just write some lines right now for you or something?
Yeah,
like,
same.
Because if you think about it, like, okay, so he's like a white collar criminal, like his end of it. He's definitely not used to violence, but he's throwing, you know, this coup and is siding with this self-help guru turned criminal, and he's talking to these like really low level like working class gangster guys and telling them to go here to do that and go this after Claire and this after Nick, and there is a lot of potential there and he's doing a decent job, but it's just really bland as far as what, you know, like the words that they choose.
Yeah, no, I agree. The dialogue's not great, but I mean, I don't think he necessarily did a bad job.
No.
Oh, no,
I don't think he definitely brought it. Yeah. Well, it's like we said before, he did the best with what he had here.
Yeah,
for me in this movie, as far, like, it goes Tucci, Coltrane, Philip Seymour Hoffman as far as just, like, my, you know, entertained by the characters, I guess.
And some, again, and Tucci, and I love him, but he's definitely helped, because to me, again, he's, like, one of the more interesting characters in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a lot more material to work with, where, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman, not really.
There's a lot of material to work with. He has boobs in his face in this movie.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, and I want to talk about, like, the chain of events that starts everything off. Because at the beginning, it's not hard to follow. It's more like, I don't care enough to follow.
Yeah.
But it's kind of things happening until we get to the point where Philip Seymour Hoffman's character figures out that he can frame
Claire
and Stanley Tucci for taking the money and for killing the son, even. Like, things are kind of rolling in his favor.
Yeah.
So he makes his move.
And Claire, because he's a tricky son of a bitch, you know, using that, like, everyman charm, and you're like, oh, oodle doodle, you look like a puffin. This is adorable. Like, a really smarmy puffin, but, like, you know.
And Claire has this, for some reason, this extreme loyalty to the boss, so she decides to come back in, but Duncan, Philip Seymour Hoffman's character at this point, is, you know, told the boss, Hagrid, Coltrane, that, like, no, Nick and Claire have totally turned on you. So he has this, the boss has this line of what he says, go feed the tree. And so now we get our last Philip Seymour Hoffman scene.
Yeah, and do you want to play it?
Sure.
Let's play it.
What you doing? You digging a hole?
Yeah, kid, we're digging a hole.
You gonna plant something?
Yeah. That just is, kid, we're gonna plant something.
Can I help?
Sure, kid.
Oh, better not. She likes digging.
Okay. Bye.
All right, see ya. Well, Claire, it was fun. But I'm not gonna miss you.
Likewise.
Oh! Oh!
Don't move. Turn around.
Okay, well, first off, not even Phillips and Harold. What is this little boy doing here?
All right.
What is this?
All right.
What
yeah,
is this?
This
is
so
another
random
moment in this movie, one of the weird moments. I'm just like, wait, what the?
And he comes back. Because
he does. Well, that little kid just gives no fucks, apparently. Like,
and
he,
where
like,
are they?
They're just in generic forest.
So let's set the scene for
Philip
people
Seymour
who haven't
Hoffman
seen this, yes.
is Carl Rove. Kira Sedgwick is just, you know, doing her like lady cop, like, yeah, I'm in a wife beater tank top because I got lots of internalized misogyny, and she's digging a hole.
And then you got the low level gangster, and then you get the little
but they're in the woods, kind of.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
like
a meadow, but there's clearly nothing around, because if they were near a highway or something, or near a playground, somebody would say something.
But even though he says go plant or go feed the tree, so I imagine this is like their go to spot. But obviously also a spot where kids just have to walk around. And also, this kid must live somewhere nearby, because he doesn't come back too long after with a little kid shovel of his own.
Yeah. I mean, he could be part of, like, Hagrid's child army, you
is
know?
Is this the original,
or like, maybe
like
he's,
Creep
like,
Potter
a... They could be, yeah. Or, you know, maybe he's, like, an evil forest spirit. Because, like, little... He has
son,
a bowl cut. You know, that's already, like, red flag right there.
I'm very
like,
proud of myself. They never do a close-up of this, but I recognize this kid. He's the son of Susan Sarandon in, again, with, I'm bringing up Julia Roberts a lot today, Stepmom.
Oh, Stepmom.
Oh, shit.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I
he's
did
the
not
kid that
even...
wants to be a magician. Yep.
That's
yeah.
funny.
Oh, man. Well, so... I guess he's a magician now, helping making bodies disappear.
Speaking of shovels, they've obviously done this before. And if you guys couldn't see, Kira Sedgwick essentially impales Philip Seymour Hoffman with a shovel.
Yeah, so that was that crunch at the end of the clip, ladies and gentlemen. So now we have two, I mean, we've had a couple of Philip Seymour Hoffman deaths, but this is the second one where it's like head trauma. He did axe to himself in my boyfriend's back, and now this is like, well, I guess throat, head, whatever. But like
a shovel to his head.
Yeah, total
just, you know,
just
get
like
punched in the face,
stomping down on the shovel. Like
the shovel hands of Paul Newman punch him in the face.
Ooh.
But no, this is an actual shovel. And this is, again, they've done this before, right? I get it, like, oh, she's digging her own grave, we're going to bury her in it. But you're also giving the person you're about to kill a weapon.
Yeah, they really didn't
that
think
too.
That through.
And then he gets close enough with his own gun that she takes it from him.
Yeah.
Which is so, oh my god. So lazy, these people.
Yes, very lazy.
So Philip Seymour Hoffman's character kind of deserved to die.
Yeah, I didn't really feel
bad.
Well,
yeah,
bad.
Multiple of
like,
us, he deserved to die.
Because it's like when I saw him die in The Getaway, I was like, oh no, baby, I'm so sorry. But like here, I'm just like, yeah, Carl Rove, like, fuck off. Like, you kind of deserve this.
Well, it's like at this point, we were delighted to enough time with him versus in The Getaway.
Yeah.
It wasn't that much.
True.
So it's just like, ooh, I wanted to have a little bit of him and Michael Madsen moments a little more in that movie. But this, we get enough screen time of...
Yeah, I mean, he survived, like, almost to the hour mark. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
This also leads to that Tucci scene I was alluding to, where he's still counting the money.
Mm-hmm.
Still counting the money. Because now they're out to kill Claire
and
Nick here.
Yeah.
And he has the door open, you know, to this room. These guys just come in and shoot point blank at him.
Yeah, he sits still.
He sits still, does not even flinch.
Gets a little nick on his arm.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no pun.
No pun intended. Oops. Gets a little nick on his arm, like it's nothing.
And then he shoots the one guy through the wall, just knowing exactly where he would...
Yeah, yeah, like quietly, not even like, let me panic, get my gun.
Yeah.
Shoots the one guy through the wall.
And then the other guy, he keeps counting, and the other guy comes back thinking he's still going to be on the couch for some reason, but he's, like, midway in the room and shoots him from there. And then goes back to counting.
Yes.
Yep.
Not even phased at all.
Yeah.
Our two leads here survive.
Yes. They survive enough that they meet up again, and there's, like, a couple, you know, there's, like, some good lines in there of they call one another up. Oh, this is a big thing. This was a movie that, you know, I'm obviously not watching in 1998, but I have a feeling this was a movie an early movie that had a strong cell phone presence. You know, there was obviously,
yeah, the Motorola StarTAC was
exactly
prominently.
It was, and I mean, in the world of, you know, mob and like organized hits and stuff like that, cell phones must come in handy.
Yeah, we've said it in previous films that if they had a phone, like The Getaway, when we did
That's
together,
true.
If they had a phone, half the plot wouldn't happen.
Yeah, stay at the train station. I'll get you there. But you know, so they're separated, Nick and Claire, and he's like, oh, I'm looking at your grave. And she's like, I'm looking at your mess. And then he pretty much says, what are you going to do? And she's like, oh, I'm going to go talk to the boss. And she's like, no, don't do that. You tried doing that once already. And then Nick says, I've got some things I have to do, but I'm here if you need me, so call me.
And we don't have too much more in this podcast.
No.
But I think the main focus of the rest of it is just like...
is the boobs in Stanley Tucci's
face.
Well,
I love that this is Stanley Tucci finding himself, like finding his soul. So
I love that
step
these
one,
are the things to do.
Yeah, step one is like, go to diner and eat pie. And I was really excited because I thought the waitress was Cloris Leachman. And I'm like, Cloris Leachman is serving pie to Stanley Tucci, living my dream.
Homemade apple pie.
Homemade,
yeah, there's
I'm like,
no apple pie
nah.
at the diner. And he gives her probably like $1,000.
Yeah, and is I'm just like, damn, like that would be my dream in real life scenario. Like I would break into a restaurant to become a waitress to make Stanley Tucci a pie and hope that everything happens exactly. So that's step one. Step two is boobs ahoy Tucci. He's just like in this like just I don't even know if it's a strip club because it's like there's
like
no
a private
pole.
Room
in
a strip club.
It's like
or...
but it's like the most generic, like it wants to be a David Lynch, like, you know, this is a stark room.
It wants to be Blue Velvet so bad.
It so wanted to be Blue
it
Velvet.
To be like Dennis
and
Hopper,
like,
ooh, I'm slutty, ooh, I'm slutty.
Yep, but nope.
And the man loves
Not
Nick
at all.
Nick loves Maker's Mark in this movie. That's the other thing.
That is true. So it's just like, you know, yeah, that is step two is boobs ahoy. And then
yeah, and I didn't think we were gonna see,
you know,
Kyle's favorite thing in a film, boobs.
Yeah, but
it's
we
just no. It's the best surprise you can get in a film.
I was actually surprised because Kitty, is, like you said, she's like
so
scantily clad.
Yeah.
But I guess you just never see the nip.
Yeah. I didn't look at the. This is an R film.
I'm
I didn't
assuming.
Even look at it after.
Oh yeah,
right?
I didn't even check the.
Yeah, just for the violence factor, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I didn't expect, which is okay. Whatever. I didn't expect there to be like nudity like that.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's just Tucci.
Yeah.
Like drinking whiskey.
Yep.
I am a little
strippers everywhere.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that like we get like this pie, this whiskey and stripper party, and then he mentions something about donuts and I'm like, this is your this is your soul.
That's
Stanley
like, that's
Tucci
goes with
pie,
the pie thing,
strippers,
yeah.
whiskey and donuts. Like I'm well done. And he also, you know, just shouting it out to his ability to rock lavender, like he rocked that color.
Oh yeah,
like,
when he puts on that lavender.
Yeah,
tie.
He gets all dressed up
yeah,
for
he gets
like the
super
final
dressed
showdown.
Up.
So he's dying, clearly.
Yes,
like, he's dying of cancer and the cancer has progressed within the time of this.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some fun lines in this movie. Claire calls him up at one point towards the end and she's just like, what are you doing? And he's like, I've been testing the waters of my soul. Only Tucci can say a line like that and like pull it off.
Yeah, and I'm not like angry. I'm not like, oh God, come on.
So Nick and Claire, they get together and they're with Kitty and they end up, Nick and Claire share a kiss.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Which was just kind of like, why?
They don't have good chemistry.
They don't.
And like, I didn't think that they had that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe they didn't have like a last wish.
Yeah, but then he. Oh my God! How did I write it down? I put. Coughs cancer blood into her mouth.
Yeah, so they're making it just coughs blood
into
her mouth.
Yeah, that was, you know, like I wrote Satine cough equals boner killer because that's kind of what it was to me. He would just like cough at random, and I'm like,
Kyle?
Oh, you're sick.
and then all of a sudden it becomes the Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette show of the Wannabe True Romance Hotel Shootout.
Yeah. did we skip the dinner party?
Yeah, we did.
There was
we
the
had...
Ritter dinner party.
Yeah,
but we never hear from Ritter again.
Okay, just literally let's spend 2 seconds on this dinner party before we get to the ending.
So Claire and Kitty go to the Ritter compound.
Because they're trying to see if they can get him on their side, essentially.
And they find out that it wasn't just Duncan. It was also like this one other guy. You know, multiple people from the boss are switching over. And then pretty much they find out that Ritter's going to be just as bad, if not worse, because he's... like even like creepy and slimier than Coltrane. And Ritter also wants to keep Kitty as, like, a sex slave as well. Well,
doesn't, like, Claire, like, offer that? She's like,
Yeah.
Take her.
Claire complies, and then, when he says yes, she says no.
Yeah, which still, it's like, but why did you offer in the first place?
I think she was just testing him.
And they're there, and after they have this meeting, then they're talking to these, like, afternoon drink guests that are very, like, you know, like golf course, like country club,
like
people.
Younger.
Yeah.
But Kitty's, again, because no one cleans themselves, covered, drenched in her dress in blood. And these people are just like, oh my God, so what are you doing? And just having these complete, like, so I was just expecting them to be like, oh, would you like to join us on the schooner, like on the bay?
John Ritter, my theory here is that he's so, from Three's Company, he's so used to getting out of ridiculous, like, comedy of error scenarios that he's grown up now. He's this old man. He's still Jack Tripper. And now he just likes to put himself in weird scenarios and try to get himself out of it. Like, let me have a, you know, a bleeding woman in the room and just act like nothing's wrong.
And then let me invite this one guest to stay behind. And when he's talking to him, he goes, Earl, you're the sunshine on my flower. And then to show Claire the dire stakes that she's in dealing with him, he just lights up I just said his name, Earl, and shoots him several times, and Claire's just like, okay, you just shot Earl.
Yeah.
And that's the end of John Ritter.
She just does not care.
Yes, this is the last time we see him.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be, like, she was going to go at the end and, like, have, like, a multiple, like, kill Coltrane and then kill, or Hagrid.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be, like, some sort of, like, revenge scenario, you know, like, Waspy shoot up, he's, like, playing croquet, you know.
No.
Something. Nope.
No.
Nope. Not at all.
So, back at the hotel shootout, some very bad choreography going on here. Just really, like, lame, like, shooting. And, like, at one point,
guns.
I mean, I caught you watching the end of this one point, and you were like, oh, cool, under the bed slide.
I was kidding, obviously.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Or, like, there's, like, a point that, like, Stanley Tucci does an Elmer Fudd impression, and I'm like,
oh, yeah,
really?
He does Elmer Fudd.
Because that hasn't been played out before. Like,
Not by Tucci, though.
Not by Tucci, true.
Can I tell you the first interaction I had with Tucci?
Yeah,
on our podcast, yes.
In real life?
So, Kyle,
no, not
when
in real
did
life.
You first notice Tucci?
Beethoven. Oliver Platt. Him and Oliver Platt. Those are two.
Another favorite of mine.
Yes.
that'll be another
podcast.
But
I'm sorry. I go into Tucci table with you guys.
Yes. Yeah. When you're on our Tucci table, you can talk about that. So, the shootout, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Our boy Stanley Tucci.
Yeah,
he goes onto the hallway at one point, and he just, I mean, he's coughing blood into
Kirsten's
mouth.
He's okay, fair.
Yeah, so,
he's going to die soon
anyway. So he's just like, I can take out more people knowing that she won't get harmed, so I'll go out there.
I mean, he does it
very, like, quickly. And,
it is comforting,
like,
to know he's still, like, a soothing, cool dad, even when riddled with bullets. Like, you know, I mean, I don't give a fuck about Kira's character, like, at all. So I was still just very focused on being like, R.I.P. you lavender tied prince, may you rock that color in heaven, you know, and just like
Henry.
Being like, out of all the people to die, like, of course it was gonna be you, but like, but why Tucci?
Well, yeah, we knew that from, like, the first minute he talks that he's going to die in this film. It would be a more crappy film if he didn't die in this film.
True.
You know, like, eventually he dies.
Like, he's like, my cancer is cured.
They find, like, the money buys.
I was going to say that. Oh, yeah. So they have the money, and then Kira or Claire decides to go and, you know, kill the boss. Guess where she hides the money, guys? At the train station!
What?
So silly.
So brilliant.
Alec Baldwin would say, what did he say when they hit the money
station.
At the train station? It was like,
you dumb bitch.
something like that.
Oh my God, totally.
There was some women slapping and C-word calling in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but a lot of slut shaming.
Yeah.
Just like,
but
so much.
We get some good Hagrid butt shot.
I'm glad how you come around to the Hagrid thing. Yeah, that guy, Hagrid, has a big butt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
and he
not,
cannot
like,
lie.
Some apple bomb jeans.
Boots with the fur.
No, so what happens here?
Claire's waiting for him in his chair at his desk. They share their words, why couldn't you trust me, yada, 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 and she shoots him. And then I thought maybe Kitty was going to be dead, but she wasn't, and she's in the car with Claire, and they're riding off, and they drive to
Montana. Yeah. Oh man, yeah, the title of this film that is thing.
And then I wrote Thelma and Louise, but nope, she drops Kitty off.
Yeah.
Yeah, she drops Kitty off. I mean, the other time we see Montana is when she's at the train station.
Yeah, and then I'm like, John Ritter? A sequel? No. Nope, can't do that.
Maybe they kept him alive, just
well,
in
not
case.
Now. Mm. In our world.
Oh, no. I was like, what happened? No, there's not going to be a sequel to this film now anyway.
Aww. True. I mean, if there was, the end should have been gayer, and then that way it could have been a better sequel, but, you know.
So, I mean, that's that. There's not too many scenes that stick out except, again, magical Stanley Tucci scenes and Philip Seymour Hoffman just doing his thing. But it's not like he talks a lot. We see him a lot. He's a pivotal character, but he doesn't have too many memorable scenes.
Yeah.
So his death scene.
Like, he handled the terrible dialogue like a pro. Like, he just, you know, he knew, he had a vision of his character.
Yeah.
He went in, he's like, this is what I'm doing. And, like, you know, he's still, like, he had, a good, you know, succession of films, but it's like, he's not like, you know, fuck-faced Johnny Depp, who's like, I'm gonna put on a silly hat, and this is what I do, guys, and like, you know, ignore that he sounds vaguely like Katharine Hepburn, because I have one voice I can do, so that's it. But like, you know, he can't go in and demand creative control, like, really easily. Like, I wish he did. Like, I wish that he was like,
I guess all
you
I'm
know,
saying
script be better.
Is that a movie with a Looney Tunes reference of Elmer Fudd? It is a very Looney Tunes-esque like movie.
It could be, if they go in that direction.
Yeah. Well, then that's the biggest thing is that, again, this is one of these films that just did not know its tone.
It didn't, yeah. It needed to commit to
a tone. It didn't declare itself as, like, an action comedy or a, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I would have liked it more as, like, an action comedy, I think, if they just, like, leaned into some of the ridiculousness or, like, you know, Tucci has great comedic timing, you know, with his lines.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think that we have learned something about film while doing this podcast. Most of the movies that we don't find particularly interesting are films that struggle with tone.
Yeah.
Mm.
And this is definitely one of them. Is it the worst film we've seen on this podcast? No. But it's also, you can kind of get why it's been one of these that have been buried for all these years.
I think the worst one will always go to My New Guy.
fair. We might let you guys in the audience decide that one. But Montana here is just one of these forgettable movies. Hate to say it, but it's true.
Yeah, and, you know, you can only glean so much joy from mocking 90s outfits like, you know, the Claire bad cop leather blazer, or, like, her inability to commit to a ponytail, because I feel like there's, like, a weird cop shorthand and be like, she's a lady, so she has to wear a ponytail, and I'm like, but it's not. But like, they're also like, but wait, guys, she has to be sexy, too, and long hair is sexy, so I'm like, okay.
Interesting choices.
Yeah.
Not really.
But like, so it's one of those movies that, like, if you were locked in a room and, like, this was playing, you know, it wouldn't be too terrible. But, like, do you want to seek it out? Nah. It's, like, it's not worth it, you know?
So that's my next question, I guess. By saying that you would not recommend this to a Hoffman fan?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, if you wanted to kind of, like, fast forward to some parts just to, like, you know, study acting, like, be like, sure, you know, like, how do you handle a terrible script? Well, you could do this, you know, like, that's a great example. But, like, if you want to be entertained, you know, there are better Philip Seymour Hoffman films, like, there are just better bad movies out there.
Yeah, it's something that I guess if it's play on cable, I'd be like, oh, like, yeah, and I knew someone was a Tucci or a Hoffman fan. I'd say, yeah, go ahead and watch it, but I wouldn't even recommend renting it for $3 an hour.
Sorry,
yeah, this
Montana.
Is a movie you watch for free.
Sorry, Montana.
Yeah, the whole also Montana Fargo thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so deep because it doesn't really take place there.
It's the goal of Montana. That's the dream.
They should have called it, like, Generic City.
Instead
of it sounds like a bad video game.
Being like, everything is a shitty metaphor. The movie.
Anything else?
No.
You wanted to add?
I mean, I would just say that, you know, I hope that you know, this director, Jennifer, gets a chance to redeem herself, remake Montana, but make it the gay Tucci cowboy film that we all deserve, you know? Like,
well, at least that would be some kind of direction, right?
It would be a direction.
Some kind of move, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add, Kyle, to Montana?
I would like to visit the state, but not this movie.
That's fair. So, Jenny,
anything new?
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me again.
If you have anything going on?
Yeah,
what's
anything,
up?
Yeah, anything to plug in the world of Jenny O'Connell?
Oh, man. At the moment, still working on, you know, my whole goal that I aim to misbehave. So I am doing, I'm working on a film. It will be out soon, hopefully, or at least the Kickstarter will, because, you know, like, capitalism's the worst and everything is terrible and politics suck. Hooray! So that's pretty much it. It's like that and, like, photo shoots. Like, nothing, you know, like, okay, I sound like a douchebag just being like, oh, photo shoots. But, like, you know, I'm collaborating with a couple of photographers to do some shoots. So, yeah, you know, just... That's pretty much it.
So,
I mean.
So once again, where can people find your work, or
you
they
can
get in touch with you?
Find me on Instagram, you know, Jenny.O'Connell, like super, super exciting Instagram handle right there. Yeah, I mean, you can do that. You could present puppies at an altar, light some candles, you know, not near the puppy. The puppy would
where
be
you going with that?
I know, right? No, I'm not Paul Newman. I don't randomly poison dogs. Like, but you know, just
reference to a film
or,
we talked about.
Or
by the way.
You know, if Paul you're Gillian Anderson and want to get in touch with me. You know, that's the best way. So it's basically like the internet. Gillian Anderson or puppy.
Okay.
That's fair. Once again, Jenny, thanks so much for
yeah,
coming
thank
on.
Thank you.
Yeah, third visit. And
yeah. We'll have you back again.
In just
sure.
the first act
Sweet.
Of his career. Right after, you know, last week's recap episode.
Right.
So next week we have Next Stop Wonderland.
Yeah.
Which I actually haven't
this
seen.
This whole podcast is a wonderland.
Had you seen Next Stop Wonderland?
I have.
I have not, actually. I've seen clips. So I'm excited. This is one of the films that I actually like, kind of wanted to see.
I'm looking forward to revisiting it.
And this is a film
which is really grounded. Right there.
This is one we actually talked about in an interview once, so that's why I wanted to.
Yes.
That's why I wanted to, you know, talk about it. Well, do what we do on this podcast.
Next stop on the P.S. I Love Hoffman is Next Stop Wonderland.
Yes, yes. So thanks for listening, everybody. Once
yes.
again, thank you, Jenny.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Like.
Yeah. Go on
follow.
Our Facebook, on iTunes. Google Play, all that good stuff.
Subscribe.
Yeah.
Send us a little message.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your love and support. And remember, P.S. Stay on Cool Hoff fans.
Have a good one. Where did you come from, baby? How did you know I needed you? How did you know I needed you so badly? How did you know I'd give my heart? Sexy thing, you. I believe in miracles.